Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. And try to maintain whatever mindfulness, inner peace, inner calmness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. So now it's 7:45. So 7:45 to 9:15, we will have our Q&A. Question and answer, and Dharma discussion and sharing. Where is the wireless mic? Bring it. Okay, just now I think the connection is loose. Okay, so we'll have Q&A, question and answer, followed by Dharma discussion and sharing. We are reviewing the daily mindfulness and the Heart Sutra notes given out earlier. So you can now turn to page one of your Heart Sutra notes. Okay, this whole book is available in the website too, brotherteo.com. I think most of us are familiar with this book, so I will just read through quickly the acknowledgement part and also the preface. So introduction, page one. Sister Lee Sugek has in the year January 2012, invited Brother Teo to visit Wu Bing Jingse Vihara. And it was during this visit that Sister Lee had requested Brother Teo to conduct this weekly Heart Sutra Kam meditation class at Wu Bing Jingse Vihara. The first Heart Sutra Kam meditation class commenced on the 12th of February 2012, and it continues till the 19th of May 2013. For a period of about 15 months. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta Kam meditation class. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brother Teo for editing before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta class. And this was how the Heart Sutta Kam meditation short notes comes about. Many Kayamitas who had attended the classes had found the short notes very beneficial and rather useful, hence the reason why they had suggested that this short note be compiled into a book so that it can also benefit others who had the affinity to receive it later. That's how this book came about. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutra teaching of the Mahayana tradition, because Brother Teo had managed to link the Heart Sutra teaching to all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that Dhamma practitioner and cultivator can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Brother Teo had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition come about and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths. And all the other teachings or essential Dhamma are branches or spin-off from it. It has always been bred to your sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivator will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta come meditation short notes to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. As these short notes were mostly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing, as such, it may not be as complete as compared to the recorded talks. Hence, it's hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to the recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. For those who want to listen to a recording, they may download the talk from the various Dropbox link. Now noted, now you go into the website, brotherteo.com. They are all there. Okay, that acknowledgement, this one, you all should rejoice. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Heart Sutta come meditation class short notes be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends of Kayanamitas who had donated and helped out in the compilation, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Lee Suge, who had personally taken the initiative to prepare all the short note pointers for my editing. Sister Padmasuri, Brad Tune, Sister Ing Bee, Sister Ellen Wong, and Sister Man Yuan for their very useful and rather important input, thereby enabling this Heart Sutta Dhamma Notes, a Dhamma book, to have the condition to be printed for free distribution. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, harm and danger, and may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts, so that the world will be much more peaceful, with greater harmony always. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration soonest possible, with metta always. So this was dated 19 February 2015. It's about 3 years plus ago. You all should rejoice because you are Kayanamitas. You also partake in all this. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then the table of content are all the chapters that we have gone through. Then you pay attention to appendix 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. These appendix are very important. Like I told you, a lot of the short notes, essential Dhamma on the green board, they are from this appendix. And this appendix also has the Heart Sutta, or Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta, printed at the back, the Mandarin and the English version. Then there is this lesson 5 of the Satipatthana Sutta and meditation class note. This one also very useful, especially appendix 3. Then appendix 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8, they are also very useful. So when you have time, go through them. Okay, the first Heart Sutta class, dated 12 February 2012. Our Heart Sutta class is on Sunday at Wu Ping Jing Sir. section 11, Poyan Zanglao Temple. Okay, 1.1 is definition. Paramita is a Sanskrit word. Its meaning is crossed over. So in Mahayana Buddhism, paramita means a perfection or virtuous quality practiced by a bodhisattva in the course of his spiritual cultivation. Then prajna is a Sanskrit word for wisdom. The Pali word is panya. So these two have same meaning, except spelled differently. The Theravada tradition like to use Pali. Mahayana tradition like to use Sanskrit. So that is the only difference. That's why paramita in Pali, in the Mahayana is called polomi. That's why when you hear this word polomi, it refers to paramita. Then the heart of the Prajna Paramita Sutta, this one you listen carefully. This one, the teaching is very profound, very beautiful, and very nicely summarized up by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. The heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. Prajna is wisdom, paramita is perfection. So this sutta is on the perfection of wisdom, means the highest wisdom, because it is the perfection of it. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the Prajna Paramita Sutta, the profound Prajna Paramita Sutta, he illuminated the five skandhas. So skandhas is the Pali word for aggregates of mind, the five aggregates of form and mind, and saw that they are all empty. And he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. So here the word illuminate is not using a torchlight to shine. Sometimes you think illuminate means I shine with a light. No, this one is with his wisdom eye, the direct seeing. Illuminate means he sees clearly into the five aggregates of form and mind and realized that they were all empty. Then he said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So to our feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness, these are the four aggregates of mind. Here, cognition means perception, and formation means sankhara, and consciousness is vijnana. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristic. This one is very important. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is a word true, but here they just put in emptiness. There is no form, feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body or mind. No sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch, or dhamma. No feel of the eye, up to and no, including no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorant or ending of ignorant, up to and including no old age, death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulation or cause of suffering, no extinction or cessation of form and mind. This one is not no way. There is no path to lead to the end of suffering, and no understanding and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the bodhisattva, through reliance on prajna paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking, means inverted thought, far behind. So ultimately, Nirvana, realizing the enlightenment, Nirvana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, true reliance on Prajnaparamita. Therefore know that Prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasamgate bodhi swaha. Then the Mandarin version. Who know how to read? Somebody read it in Mandarin. Give to Padma Suri. Page 2.
观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，独一切苦厄，舍利子，色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明亦无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智亦无得，以无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃。三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛，波罗揭谛，波罗僧揭谛，菩提萨婆诃。
萨埵萨埵萨埵。Thank you so much. Very good. So those who know Mandarin, I think it gives a very much more definite meaning. Because if you base it on the English translation, unless your Dhamma is very stable, very good, you may not understand the English word. Because the meaning doesn't stand out. Whereas the Mandarin word, the Dhamma stand out. Okay, now we will go into the basic. To understand this Heart Sutta, you realize one thing that was focused on was the five aggregate of form and mind. So that was the reason why I started off the Heart Sutta by teaching them what is the meaning of this five aggregate of form and mind. We call it the human being or the living being. For you, it's the human being. You are born as a human on this rhyme. So this human being is the five aggregate of form and mind. Can follow? So when people ask you, who are you? What are you? What is your standard answer? I am so and so. And that is conventional truth, not the ultimate truth. So basically, if we ask ourselves, oh, okay, have you all taken the shot? Then rub it off for me. Well, I have to explain this so that most of you can understand. If you can't understand the five aggregate of form and mind, you can never penetrate the the Heart Sutta. After you understand the five aggregate of form and mind, you also have to meditate to see clearly what this five aggregate is all about. Then only you can truly understand the Buddha's teaching. Okay, what you can do is, I will read to you what is in the Heart Sutta note first. 1.3, the five skandhas or five aggregate of form and mind. Remember, there are two aspects to it. First aspect is as a human being, where the rupa is the form, and the physical body. So this physical body is the first aspect of the form, within the first aspect of the form and mind. Whereas the second aspect, they are mental form. They are not the physical form. They are the external form that you take into your mind via your perception, aggregate, or sanya. Sanya is perception. How many of you are completely new to the five aggregate of form and mind, Buddhism? Oh, you completely don't know. Wow, you're zero base, Okay, it's good that you put up your hand. You help others to understand. Never mind, it's okay. No need to be so clean. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Chitao. Okay, so two aspects. Oh, the date also you rub it off. Never mind. Yesterday is the first day. Day 1, 16. March. So this is day 1. Okay. So the five aggregates of form and mind, aggregates of form and mind. So this form and mind in Pali is called nama rupa. Nama rupa. So it's a Malay word. Rupa is form. Nama is mind. Your name. Nama. But here in the the teaching, this nama is not your name. This nama is mind. That's that. Because it is a Sanskrit word. So the five aggregates of form and mind that the Buddha talked about is very unique, because he wants to explain to you that this five aggregates of form and mind is impermanent. If you attach, cling, and hold deludedly, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. Therefore, you can own everything. All this can be mine. That's why it's non-self, anatta. Means this human being is not you. You understand? Anatta doesn't mean nothing. Empty. Empty means empty nature of existence. Emptiness doesn't mean nothingness. Emptiness means empty of reality. There is no reality at all. In Mandarin, you all call it, what is this word, shi kong? I always hear this word. What is the meaning? Illusion. Not illusion. It's empty. Shi is nothing. Kong is also nothing. So, double nothing. The Mandarin word, very interesting. Empty nature, not real. So when you have that understanding, then it becomes beautiful. What the Buddha wants you to understand is this five aggregate of form and mind, which he called Namarupa, is very vital for you to understand who are you, what are you. So he said, in the very first place, when we are born into this universe, it can be a living being. Living being means not necessarily a human being. You understand? You can be an animal or a non-human or whatever. But we are human being. Okay? So as far as this five aggregate of form and mind is concerned, the Buddha say, There are two aspects. And this one very few people understand. Yeah? There are two aspects. The first aspect is as a human being. Means we are referring to ourselves, huh? Human being. And this human being is, according to the Buddha, karmically conditioned out. Clearly conditioned. Conditioned out for us to arise in this universe, or conditioned world. Do we have the blue color? You have it, you pass it to me. Or you have to go and get it somewhere. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. You see, the first aspect is as a human being. Yeah? Means karmically conditioned out for us to arise in this universe. So this is not you. This is the karmically conditioned form and mind. So form and mind, you got a physical body. Physical body. Yeah? Then you got a consciousness trapped inside. So this is what the human being is all about. Okay? So we have to slowly develop the understanding so that you are not deceived. Yeah? So the physical body is the form. Physical body. Physical body. Yeah? This is the form aspect. Yeah? Yeah? Physical body or physical form. Then this is the consciousness. So this one is the consciousness. Then some call it the mind. So the physical body together with the mind become the form and mind. Yeah? These two become the form and mind. So this is what the five aggregate is all about. So this form and mind is the first aspect of the five aggregate. Yeah. Then how did we get five? The physical form is only one. Then the Buddha subdivide this mind into four more aggregates. It says your mind can do four things. It can feel. It can feel. Then what else can your mind do? Yeah? Like hot and cold, your mind can feel, isn't it? Yeah? Today, the weather, all those things, you can have this feeling aggregate. So your mind has this ability to feel. What else can your mind do? It can perceive. So there is this perception aggregate. Perceive. Then what else can it do? Every day you do. You think a lot. So mental activity, thinking. Mental activity, or you call it thinking, or thinking. Then the last one is what? What can you do? You can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. True or not? Yeah? Without the mind, you cannot be conscious. So this consciousness is the ability of the mind. You can be conscious. So in Pali, it's called Vedana. It's all written in the book. No need to make note. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnanam. Vijnanam. I have to explain this Sankara part. Sankara part is very important. This one is all of the mental activity, whatever that is in your consciousness, the content of consciousness. We call it the content of consciousness. All of the content you put inside the consciousness is actually mental activity sankhara. And this sankhara is inclusive of these two, feeling and perception. It's also part of sankhara. Because when there is mental activity, feeling will also arise. But the reason why the Buddha split these two is because he need to use it for teaching. So feeling has to be taken out. We are in the dependent origination. The Buddha say, upon contact, feeling arise. That's why this feeling has to be separated. Then perception, he has to separate it, because this is the aggregate of mind that brings the external form into the mind. How do you know this physical form of the Buddha image? How do you know? You perceive it, isn't it? True or not? You perceive it through your memory, isn't it? Without memory to perceive, this form cannot be known, isn't it? So how do you know this form? So this becomes your mental form. That's why the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind comes about. So here, there are four aggregates. Four aggregates. And plus one. So this one is one aggregate. So four plus one equals five. Yeah. So these four aggregate come from feeling, perception, mental activity, and consciousness. So the second aspect is the five mental aggregates. Mental aggregates. So this mental aggregate means, as we know, within the mental, which is the consciousness, this mental mind, which is the consciousness, we supposed to have only four aggregates. Okay? Feeling, perception, mental activity, and consciousness. But because this perception, perceiving consciousness, the aggregate of perception, this one brings the external form into your mind. Understand? Whatever you perceive through your senses, that is the external sense data or form that you bring into the mind. So the four aggregates of mind plus the mental form becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. So, 4 plus 1 mental form. This one also become the 5 aggregate. So, this is the 5 mental aggregates of form and mind. So, this second aspect is consciousness. No human being involved. Do you understand? And when the Buddha teach under the Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination, the dwelling, Se Yin Yan Fa, he is talking about this second aspect. He is not interested in the first aspect. The first aspect pertains to karma. This first aspect, the human being is subject to karma. So this one, you have to make a note. This is subject to karma. Subject to karma. That's why I said here it's karmically conditioned out. So this one, the physical body, is like a vehicle. Because this physical body takes you around, true or not? When you want to move, go somewhere, it takes you around. So this is like a vehicle, like your car. When you want to go somewhere, it takes you there. So this is a vehicle. Then this consciousness, which is your mind, this is your tool. So this human being is like a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this universe, for you to use. So don't be deluded by it. Don't attach to it. Don't cling to it. Don't believe that it's you. It is for you to understand that this one is a vehicle and a tool for you to come to perform your function, to experience karma, to cultivate, to develop whatever goodness or wholesomeness, to evolve your understanding. But if you come without this understanding, you become deluded, then this human being being deluded come here to pay back your karmic debt. That's why you become miserable, afflicted. Without wisdom, this human being suffer. With wisdom, this human being become beautiful. Then you can live life, truly live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life, provided you have the wisdom. So this first aspect is important, is because this human being, even though not you, just a vehicle and a tool, but it is subject to karma. So every life you come, the segmented life, each life is one segment. That is the birth you take. And law of karma recognize that. That's why your continuous birth and death, they call it birth and death for eternity in samsara. You know what is samsara? Samsara, that word. You're familiar with that? Kuhai. You know what is kuhai? Suffering world. This is birth and death. Understand? So samsara is suffering world of birth and death. Or birth and death. So this one is eternity, unending, if you do not have the enlightenment or the awakening to liberate from this samsaric world. So this aspect, mental activity, I have to explain a bit. Do you know how we form a thought? You have been creating thought for so long, since birth until now. Do you know how you create thought or not? How do you create thought? How do you create thought? Of course, the easiest answer is I think. Correct or not? But do you understand how you create thought? And what is thought? So in order to understand that, you have to understand that you are originally the true mind. What is true mind? True mind is just aware, nothing. Understand or not? So spacious awareness is your true mind. Spacious awareness is your true mind. So initially, you are just awareness, spacious, empty, nothing. Then how do you create a thought? How do you know that this is a Buddha Rupa? Huh? You perceive it there. So what you do is, this spacious awareness, which is the oneness, you go and focus. You understand? You focus on this space, which is that space. Understand? Then you input your views and opinion. After you perceive, your views, opinion, all go in. You input the content of consciousness. So this is spacious awareness, you focus. After you focus, then you input the content of consciousness. Content. Consciousness. Then this one become a thought. Then this one become a thought. This one become a thought. That's why from a spacious awareness, you are actually very, very beautiful. But you shrink and become a thought. And you think you are the thought. That's why Krishnamurti say thought is limited. You understand? Because from the limitless, spacious awareness, the oneness nature, you focus and lost inside this space. And you create this thought. And you believe that thought is you. Because you say, you create thought. You are the thinker. There is a thought behind the thinker. There is a thinker behind the thought you create. Do you understand? That is self-delusion. Because this one is not real. This one is condition arising, dependent originating. It arises because we have this five aggregate of form and mind. We have our five physical senses. You have your physical body. Physical body got five physical senses. Physical body has five physical senses. Senses. And because of these senses, it interacts with the mind. So these five physical senses interact with the mind. Interact with mind. So what happens is, when mind make contact, so upon contact, so when this one interact means mind make contact. So this one is contact, let's say. Then it gives rise to consciousness. So initially when the consciousness arises, it is just pure consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing is just the seeing consciousness. You are just conscious of that consciousness. There is no one to see. But the delusion comes in when you input the content of consciousness, and this is the one that creates the egoic mind. Then you say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel and think. Then you think and believe that this human being is you. But I ask you a very sincere question. You answer sincerely. Do you think this fellow is not you? Yeah? Since birth until now, can you deny that it's not you? Unless you meditate, you can never deny. You sure believe it's you. Why? You say, Brother Teo, I want to speak, I speak, I want to run, I run, I want to eat, I eat, I want to die also can. Why you say not me? Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? Does logic create truth? Logic doesn't necessarily create truth, isn't it? Whatever is logical is most of the time opposite of the truth. Why? I give you a simple analogy. Okay? The car you drive, you are the driver, isn't it? And the car is a car there. Okay? Let's say you have a very, I won't say it's a very good car. It's a performing car. Means that car got no problem. Means it got no problem. You want to accelerate, you put on the accelerator, it will go. Then you want to slow it down, you brake, you want to turn, you want to manual, means ability to control. You can control that car, okay? But you can see that the driver is the driver there. The car is the car there. The driver that control the car is not the car there. Can see that? Ability to control this body, you think this body is you? Who's the one that control this body? Your mind, isn't it? So, this form and mind, when I give you the car and the driver analogy, you will know that the car, that's why I put here the vehicle, is your physical body, isn't it? The driver is your mind. This fellow instructs this fellow to move. Just like the car. If the car is without petrol, can you drive it? If let's say something wrong, certain part, just like the physical body, paralyzed from the waist down, the mind cannot ask the body to walk anymore. Do you understand? To stand up also it cannot. So these are what the Buddha called condition arising state. When the condition is there, for it to perform the function, that is like, it's real. It exists. It's you. Can you see it? Yeah? The physical body and your mind is exactly similar, not 100%. It's similar to the driver and the car. The driver is the driver. The car is the car. So when the condition is functioning, means this driver can operate the car, is because this car is in proper condition. You understand? So likewise, your physical body, if there is no paralysis, nothing, then this mind can instruct the body to do what it wants to do. But you can see clearly the driver is the driver, the car is the car. So these two are different. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is this physical body is not you. And to understand it is very easy. It is made out of element. No knowing. So how can it be you? Element goes the way of nature. So it's 100% not you. Then when it comes to the consciousness and the mind, the Buddha said, it has this ability, so he subdivided into four more aggregates of mind. Feeling, perception, mental activity, consciousness. Here, mental activity is not only your thinking. When you think, according to what your thought, if it's a wholesome thought, unwholesome thought, then it will give rise to feeling, emotion. So all the mental states are also part of sankhara. You know what is mental state, isn't it? Your happy feeling, your unhappy feeling, your anger, your hatred. Yeah? Then your pity, sukha, all these are part of sankhara. Sankhara got 52. Then this mental activity, which is your content of consciousness, it has a lot of function inside there, including feeling and perception. When you arise a thought, like your planning, your scheming, your cunningness, these are all sankhara, content of consciousness, activity of mind. Everything that your mind can do becomes the content. So like I said, the spacious awareness, you focus and it shrinks and become a thought because you input the content. So from spacious awareness, you lose your ability to have that nature. Then you deludedly believe this thought. That's why you cling to this egoic mind. And this is your second aspect, five aggregate of form and mind. This second aspect is your thought. So this one is your thought. So what you need to understand is, the Buddha said feeling. Feeling, he said, is it self? What do you think? It's feeling self. Self means something you can hold on to, control. Yeah. If feeling is self, the Buddha say it will not lead to suffering. That's why he say feeling cannot be self. So likewise, perception is the same. So this one, perceive, sanya is actually perception. Eh? So this one should be perception. So similarly, he say, the other three is the same. If this is self, it will not tend towards suffering. Means whatever you perceive will not make you miserable. Whatever feeling that arises will not go otherwise, will not make you unhappy or unpleasant. So likewise, thinking also same. Consciousness also same. But as you go through life, you realize all this tends towards suffering. Then the Buddha said, if it tends towards suffering, then the second question he asks is feeling permanent or impermanent? Feeling, is it permanent or impermanent? It's definitely impermanent, isn't it? It keeps on changing, isn't it? So the Buddha said, whatever that is impermanent and tends towards suffering, is it right for you to say, this is me, this is I, and I can own it, possess it? It's me. It's definitely not the case, isn't it? And the easier way to understand it is, which I contemplated, reflected, and come out is, how can feeling be you? If feeling is you, when good feeling arise and pass away, did you die? Did you die or not? When your good feeling pass away, did you die? Definitely feeling not you, isn't it? Whatever perception you perceive, then the next perception is another one. So perception also, like feeling, come and go, you didn't die. Mental activity also come and go, you didn't die. Consciousness also arise and pass away, you didn't die. So how can they be you? True or not? True or not? That's why the five aggregate of form and mind is empty, not you. That is what the Heart Sutta is all about. But the interesting question is, if they are not you, how did they arise in you? You never ask that question. How come feeling keep on arising in me if it's not me? That is for you to meditate, to understand. I have given the answer many times, but this time I want you all to find out yourself. How did feeling arise? Yeah? How did this aggregate arise? Because of this karmically conditioned form and mind. I told you, you have your five physical senses. Got senses upon contact, interact with mind, consciousness has its content. That's why the seven universal, one of them is feeling. It arises straight away. It is what the Buddha said, dependent originating, condition arising. It was never there. That's why all these are unreal, because they are dependent on condition to arise. When condition is there, then it manifests. You know what is condition? No physical body, no physical senses. No physical body, no consciousness, no contact, no consciousness. No aggregate. You understand? All these are conditions. So what is the condition for the five aggregate of form and mind, human being? Yeah? How did you arise? You think nobody take you here? Your karmic nature, understand? Or? Your karma, karmically conditioned. So dependent on your karma, you don't take care of karma, you keep on coming, understand? Or not? You keep on coming until this one become you. Samsara. You become the traveler in space and time. They call this the eternal traveler. Understand? For eternity, you travel in space and time. Keep on taking birth. then don't know how to go home. You don't even know where your home is, because you thought this samsara is home. That's how living beings get into trouble. So this 5 year of form and mind, two aspects. First aspect as a human being, then the second aspect as a 5 mental aggregate. Where the 4 mental aggregate is the same, except the mental form goes into the mental aggregate, become the 5 aggregate. So this is the thought. This is what the Buddha referred to under the dependent origination, paticca samuppada. This one, as a human being, is not part of samuppada. But the old version, 3 period of time one, they think this one is part of it. So that teaching is different. Okay, any question? Because this one, you must get it right. If you don't get this right, you cannot understand the Heart Sutta. Then even the teaching of the Buddha, 5 aggregate of form and mind, not easy for you to understand. Okay? If you are not sure, you can ask. We still got some time. Any question? The 2 aspects clear now. First aspect is what? As a human being. You got a physical body, 1 aggregate. You got a mind, which can be subdivided into 4 more aggregates. And these 4 aggregates, you can understand very easily. You ask yourself, what can my mind do? My mind can feel, correct or not? That's how feeling aggregate. My mind can perceive through my seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. That's why it has the aggregate of perception. Then my mind can think, isn't it? You think a lot, isn't it? Create mental activity, isn't it? Create emotion, isn't it? Have mental intention, isn't it? Can plan, can scheme, can have cunningness, deceive people, and all these things. All these are sankhara, mental activity, content of consciousness. Then the last one is, your mind can become conscious of what you see. Conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. These are the 4 aggregates of mind. And the Buddha subdivided it so well because he knew feeling is important. Perception is important, like I explained just now. We are feeling, upon feeling arise craving. So upon contact, feeling arise. That feeling condition craving, which is tanha, which is the cause of your suffering. So these are all related. That's why feeling has been separated. Then perception brings in the external form. It's also separated. And feeling and perception is part of sankhara. That's why sankhara total got 52. That's how it come about. Okay? So I hope this is clear. Then now I go through the book, you will understand. Page 3. We are at the Heart Sutta, Brother Gan and Sister Brother Te. Okay, on page 2 you have the circle, divided into 4 quadrants. So form and mind is nama rupa, okay? So form is rupa, mind is nama. Then the 4 aggregate of mind is the square, the 4 squares. The aggregates of feeling, which is vedana, then aggregate of perception or cognition is sanya, then you have sankhara or mental activity, etc., then vijnana, which is consciousness. So next page, vedana, sanya, and sankhara, that's why I put these 3 together, they are content of consciousness. So consciousness, before the content goes in, is pure consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. No content go in yet, no one to see. But the moment you input the content, the sankhara through delusion will create the egoic mind, I see, and all these things. And then like, dislike, views, opinion, all goes in. That's why you got kusala and akusala. Wholesome and unwholesome. Then sankhara, the meaning is very wide. They use a lot of English words, but all this can't define completely what Sankhara is. They say Sankhara is also called mental activity, mental formation, mental state, mental intention, mental planning, scheming, etc. That's why it's equal to everything that the mind can do, including your feeling and perception. So this is a very complete definition. That's the reason why you always hear the Buddha mention this. He always used the word Sankhara only. He never say Vedana Sanya Sankhara. He just say Sankhara Anicang. Sabbe Sankhara Anicang. Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang. Because to him, Sankhara is the whole content of consciousness. Then consciousness is like a receptacle or the container to receive the content. Then the six sense are your eye, ear, nose, tongue, bodily tactile, and mind all. Then the five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state to become peaceful and aware within are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness, or lethargic mind. Then restlessness of mind and doubt. So this one we have gone through. To counter it, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. And the five spiritual faculties are Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So they are all defined there. They are all on the green board, essential Dhamma out there. Five daily contemplation. These are very important. The Buddha advised the monk and the lay cultivator, every day you have to reflect and contemplate on this. This will lead to initial wisdom so that you can cultivate accordingly and meditate accordingly. Let us read together. The first one. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old and decay, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. Why did the Buddha ask you to reflect every day? Why need to know this? Have you ever questioned yourself? Very good. So that you do not attach to the body, understand? No? Because it is telling you the truth, the reality. This body is not you, made of element, goes the way of nature. You understand? That's why do not be deluded. Because it goes the ways of nature, it is of the nature to get old, get sick, and die. And this is the reality. You cannot fight nature's law. You cannot fight truth. You cannot go against nature. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. Because when you cannot get what you want, you become miserable. And this is for you to reflect, contemplate. If this body of mine is of the nature to grow old and get sick and die one day, then what must I do? What must you do? What? Pass the mic over. I can't hear you. No, last lady. Last lady.
We cannot attach with the body. We have to accept what is given and grow old gracefully, of course, and cultivate Dharma.
Okay.
Just like karma,
okay.
We have to, you know.
Yeah, that is very good.
Try to eliminate all the karmas that cultivate Buddhism.
But does it bring about an urgency in you? You only mention about we have to accept, understand? But doesn't it tell you something? If you are going to die or get sick and get old, so don't wait until you are old, sick, and about to die, only think of Dhamma, understand? Means the urgency of practice. If you know this body is going this way, you somewhat think, I got time, I think. I wait till I retire, only I cultivate. You know, now, a lot of people say, not now, must wait till retire. After retire, no time lah. I still need to work. So, when is the right time? Because they don't see all this. They don't understand. Then the other second aspect that the Buddha wants you to know is, you see, this is a universal problem, understand? This reality doesn't only affect you alone, understand? Every living being, not only human being, they are subject to old age, sickness and death. That's why these are the three reality of life and death within the First Noble Truth that the Buddha mentioned. He said, under the First Noble Truth, he said, there are eight conditions within nature, the reality. When they arise and you are afflicted because you don't have the wisdom or the teaching, then you will suffer. And what are the eight conditions? Birth, old age, sickness and death. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is this is a universal problem. When you get sick, don't complain. You know why? Because you are not the only human being to get sick, understand? This is a universal reality which you have to understand. Everybody has to experience this. If you live long enough, you have to confront birth, old age, sickness and death. And when you confront them, you cannot complain, understand? Because you are not the only person subject to this type of universal reality. So if everybody is subject to it, then you ask yourself, the one who suffer are the one who don't have the Dhamma, understand? If you have the Dhamma, you don't have to suffer. That is what the Third Noble Truth is all about. Suffering need not be, because enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So the Buddha said there is this First Noble Truth of Dukkha. Means there is the Noble Truth that tells you exactly how suffering can arise. The prevalence of suffering in this universe. Everywhere. Then the second Noble Truth says there is a cause behind all this suffering. And the cause is your self-delusion that conditions you to deludedly grasp, cling and hold through craving, wanting things your way. Because when you crave, you want to own it, possess it, you attach, you cling, you grasp, you hold. That's how suffering comes to be. Then things that you don't like, you reject it. That's why you develop the ill will, the envy, the jealousy, the unhappiness. You want to push it away. These are both craving, positive and negative craving, both cause of suffering. Then the third Noble Truth says, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana can be realized. The cessation of suffering, Dukkha, can be realized if you have the Dhamma. And he didn't end there. He said, there is a path that can lead to the end of all suffering, which is the fourth Noble Truth. And this path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because you develop the meditation to liberate your mind, to be free from all suffering. So you say, cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to the end of all suffering. And the teaching is so clear. So why do you continue to neglect on this? Why can't you see the urgency and the importance of cultivating this Buddha Dhamma and develop the understanding so that every life you come, there is a reason to come. Otherwise, for me, you might as well don't come. You come here to become miserable. Why do you still choose to come? Because you don't understand karma. That's why you got no choice. You never choose. Your karma bring you here. That's why the Buddha said you can have a choice. When you have a choice, you don't have to come this way. You can come like the Bodhisattva, the enlightened being. They have the Dhamma. And when they come here, they can truly understand life, live life. They can be a blessing to all. And this is what you're supposed to develop the understanding and put in all you have to cultivate. To develop the understanding, the wisdom, the awakening. And human being very funny. I don't know why. They cannot see, cannot understand. And yet they are very happy in that condition. Oh, I just can't understand human being. And sometimes you try to like explain or help them, they act like they are more wise than you. Understand? They tell you, no, I don't learn this type of Dhamma one. Oh, I learn the other type one. Then my Pure Land one, my what one. Then what to say? Even this life, you can't even understand what is going on. You can't even cope with life. You can't even cope with your own problem, your own situation. And you still prefer to continue this way. Then nobody can help you. Like I used to say, your life, nothing to do with my nature. Understand? My duty is to share, to make known all this teaching to you. The rest is up to you. If you are not serious, if you do not take this seriously, it's okay, because no problem. End of the day, nature continues. It's beautiful law of karma. The beautiful wheel of life, samsara, that will turn. If you continue to love that thing, then by all means, go. Nobody is stopping you. But if you see the importance of this, determine and do what you can this life. Because this life is a sasana. This is a great window of opportunity for you to free your mind. To make all the aspiration, the condition, the vow, so that life after life you come, you will have this understanding, so that you need not suffer. And when you come with this understanding, you become beautiful. You really become beautiful. Not in the aesthetic or physical aspect. Beautiful in understanding. In having this wisdom in you. So this is the aspect of the teaching that I hope you all can appreciate. Now we quickly go through the 5 daily contemplations so that at least we can end this chapter. We read together. Now one shot, 1, 2, 3. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old and decay, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. This body of ours is of the nature to be diseased and get sick, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. This body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. So this is for you to contemplate. But more important is you have to add the notes of what I have shared with you. Your physical body is only element, anasana. No knowing, cannot be you. And this one, because it's element, it goes the way of nature. So these are nature's law. Getting old, getting sick and die is not God's punishment. It's nature's law. These are reality of life. You are not the only human being or living being subject to it. All living beings, they are subject to it. So the only being that can free from all this is the one that has the Dhamma, the understanding. Means you have the understanding that this is not you. And when this happens, you have to endure, you have to endure. You have to seek doctors or whatever, you have to. But there is a limit to what it can. Because finally, it will still die. That's it. Death is a certainty. And when you understand the Dhamma, no one die, nothing die. Just consciousness and the physical form separate. Who die? What die? Nothing die. The 5 aggregate form of mind was never you. So how can you die? Who are you? What are you? That's why I meditate quickly. Understand all this so that you don't doubt. Otherwise, you don't know how to die. How? Before you die, you worry. Oh, you die already. How? I heard people say, go down there, very charming. So how? Someone, they tell you, you did so much funny thing when you are around. You be careful. When you go down, you will be in hell for very long. Then different people got different idea, no? He said, like that how? Then last time, we all engineering student, very naughty one. The Christian people came to us. He said, if you don't believe their religion, when you die, you go to where? Where do you go? Ah, eternal hell. No salvation, no. Then one of my classmates, I think he is quite naughty, but he got some smart thinking also. He said, how is heaven like? He asked them, no. Wow, they tell him, heaven, paradise, everything, no. Music, everything. Then he asked one question, no. Got mahjong or not? They look at him, no. Then, got alcohol to drink, no. Got thing that we can enjoy, no. Well, like that, I don't want to go heaven. Heaven very boring. I got no kaki there. All my kaki in hell. I prefer to go down. So that was a joke. I don't take that seriously. You don't go and quote me, brother Teo, say better go hell. All our kaki there. But if you go down there, you may not see anybody down there. You know, all these are cultivated. You may see those people whom you don't know. But you take care of mind take care of karma take care of your life. You will never go down there. You only need to realize at least sotapannaship. Then you are definitely free from the, what they call apayarayam, the four woeful state. You will never take birth down there. Okay, then the fourth one is also very important. This one remind you not to attach. Remind you not to be deluded by all this phenomenal world. We read together. All that is dear to me, like our loved ones, our wealth, our possession, etc., are impermanent and conditioned arising. Hence, they will separate from us one day. You understand the meaning, eh? Because they arise dependent on condition. When condition cease to be, they cease to be. And the best way to understand is, you listen to my voice. How did my voice arise? Do you need a God to create? You don't need it there. How did it arise? If there is no microphone, how? If the mic is not functioning, how? If I don't speak through the vibration, it doesn't arise there. True or not? So, this voice, the hearing consciousness that you hear or perceive, is dependent originating. Understand? Is it real, I ask you? Huh? Is it real? Why you all dare not answer? Huh? Scared wrong? Huh? Is it real? Definitely not real. Huh? The moment I stop, you didn't say this voice died. But when your heartbeat stopped, ah, you see liao, die. But when my voice stopped, you never say that hearing consciousness die. He said, no more sound, finish. But heartbeat stopped, see liao, die already. Nothing die, you understand? No? The nothing die meaning is like my voice, understand? No? When the condition no more, what happened? The phenomenon ceased to be. You understand? So heartbeat stop means what? You know how you survive or not? You need three things to make you alive. What is it? A physical body, not harm. Then a consciousness that is still alive. Understand or not? Can function inside this physical body. Then what is the third one? Louder. Karmic force. Understand now? You need this karmic force to pump your heart. If the karmic force no more, how? It's like the condition no more, like I don't speak. Understand now? Then, therefore my mind cease to be. Then you say you die. Where God die? It's the karmic force no more because your karma exhausted. Understand? Then sometimes karmic force keep on coming. But you get accident. Don't say you. somebody else get accident, or brain damage, vital organ damage, then the doctor try their best, cannot. Means the consciousness cannot stay inside, understand? The consciousness has to leave. That's how separation of consciousness happens. Karmic force around also no use, because the other organ doesn't function anymore. That's why sometimes they say brain dead. Yeah. Certain vital organ like liver, cancer, all those things. Yeah. When it happens, human being, the lifespan is up. So any of the three conditions is just like the candle. You know, a candle, you got three things that enable the condition for this candle to light up in it. What are the three things? You need the wax, you need the wick, and you need the light, isn't it? So you think your candle so long, you will live up to 80 years. The wind come blow, gone. Understand? Then sometimes the wind don't come, you protect it very well, you don't want to get out of your house. Then what happened? The wick got problem. Burn halfway, pep, 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 pep. Then the light cannot continue. You go and protect also no use, understand? Because if you must die, you die, understand? Then sometimes the wax, you don't have a good DNA, the wax is a lousy wax. Once the light is on, it melts very fast, understand? So you think, wow, so long, that person live until 80, I also live until 80, but yours 30 gone already. You got very soft, melt very fast. Because you never take care. DNA is different. So the condition behind is for you to understand. So don't be deluded by the condition world. The condition world is the world of impermanent. You know why it's impermanent? Means it's never a permanent, unchanging entity. Why? Because the Buddha said it's dependent originating. That's why Paticca Samuppada is dependent originating. Dependent on something, something arises. When something ceases, that phenomenon ceases. That's why the Buddha said, imastin sati idang hoti. When this condition arises, this arises. Then imastin asati idang arhoti. When this condition ceases, this phenomenon ceases. Means it's just a dependent originating world. It's nothing real. Come and go, come and go. When condition arise, it arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. It's just as simple as that. No reality. If you can see all this, then you can contemplate into life, then you ask yourself. That's why a lot of the Mahayana teaching are very good. Even some of the saying. When you are born into this world, you come with what? You come with nothing, isn't it? That's why the Mahayana say, lai ye kong. Then when you die, what do you bring along? You bring along nothing. Qi ye kong. So if you know you come nothing, you go nothing, then why do you grieve over nothing? In between. Do you understand? Namo si zu wa, he bi ku ku, wei kong liu lei na. You have been tormenting yourself, making yourself miserable over what? Finally empty. This is the meaning of dependent origination, condition arising. Empty nature, no reality. 一切都是空性, understand? Just now we use the word what? 虚空. 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 How to write down there? Write the Mandarin word. Write the Mandarin word so that people understand. These are very beautiful Mandarin words because it portrays the deep meaning of Dhamma. And I like to use them because they really show up. Can understand the word? Those who know Mandarin, you try to understand. Okay, we have to finish the last one. The last one is the most important. We read together. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. Do you know why the Buddha wants you to reflect and contemplate on this? Do you know? So that you must take care of karma. Why must you take care of karma? Because your whole life is 100% depend on karma. You are born of it, air to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. Every moment, every instant. And you still don't want to take care of karma. Then, good luck to you. Nobody can help you. So if you know that this is so serious, if I know I am born of karma, heir to karma, my karma, then I am conditioned and supported by my karma. And I am what I am every moment, every instant because of my karma. The first thing I did was, the moment I know this teaching, I never turn back, I told you. In my form 5 day, I already started inquiry into all this and develop the understanding. Because it's from the past. Straight away you know what to do, take care of. And since the day I was born, I cannot do a lot of things. Every time I do those things, I get into trouble. It shows it to me. I cannot cheat, I cannot lie, I cannot do things that are against the nature's law. Immediately the effect come up. And show it to my nature. That's why all this, you cannot play a fool with karma. And this is how the Buddha came to understand the law of karma. And from there, the advice of all Buddha comes. How do you take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil to good, purify the mind. That is where the advice of the Buddha comes. That's why some sabbapapassa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta parituppanang dappanang etang buddhana sasana. So the Buddha say all evil you have to avoid, then whatever wholesomeness, goodness you have to cultivate, then you have to purify your mind to develop the wisdom. And this is the advice of all Buddhas. And the advice comes from this, the law of karma. They say he asks you to reflect and then follow his advice. So to be worthy of the Buddha, what must you do? At least you must heed his advice. Understand or not? You keep on telling people you are a Buddhist, but you don't even know what the advice of the Buddha is. You didn't even follow his teaching. You are not worthy of him. You are not worthy to be even called a Buddhist follower or disciple of the Buddha. So to be worthy of him, you make sure you understand his advice, follow his advice, cultivate the teaching as proclaimed by him. And when you do this, you are destined for enlightenment. You will never fall. Okay, then 2.4, meaning of craving. Meditation and attachment or clinging. Craving is wanting things your way. Reacting to means craving leading to suffering. Craving got two, positive and negative. Meditation, the three turning. Listening, hearing, reading is the first turning. You listen to the Dhamma. Nowadays you can read. Then hearing and listening is the same. The second turning is contemplation, reflection, inquiry. Then the third turning is the direct seeing leading to awakening, means bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training. Then attachment is grasping or clinging via delusion that condition your suffering. So these are all very nicely summarized. Okay, we stop here. Because it's almost 9:15. One more minute. If you got any question, you can ask. I can still take one question. Anybody? Yes. Pass the mic to her. Where's the mic, yes, sir? Oh, you are having it.
Brother Teo, yes. Contemplation, do we actually need to think of something to contemplate?
Okay, very good question. Yeah, luckily you asked. This has been the question for almost every retreat. You see, contemplation means you bring up something for you to contemplate and reflect on. Ayo, I didn't bring that book, I think. I should, you are from Penang. I think Puan Chi should have that book. Eh? The first, very first book, that the Three Turning of the Four Noble Truth One. Where is Puan Chi? Oh, you got that book, isn't it? My first Dhamma notes, where there is the topic on the Three Turning of the Four Noble Truth One. Otherwise, I can... Ah, you go to the website, bharatdeo.com. You look for the very first book, I remember. What is the title? The Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, but I think it's a A4 size book. It's not this type of printed book. Inside there, I got explained very clearly. You can click on the soft copy, and you can see them. You see, to contemplate means to reflect, to inquire. This is what contemplation is about. So when the Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth, let's say, he said, birth, old age, sickness and death leads to suffering. You don't have the Dhamma. Then when you cannot get what you want, it also leads to suffering. Separation from loved ones or prized possession also leads to suffering. Then when things don't go your way, your expectations in life are not met, it will lead to suffering. Then the last one is the eighth condition. In short, he summarized everything. He said, in short, it's due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling. The upadana khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, is suffering. Okay? So, this is the proclamation by the Buddha. So, first turning, you listen to the proclamation or you read. Can you understand? Can you understand what the Buddha says? Maybe by now you understand to a certain extent. Okay? Yeah. But let's say the five aggregate, you're not very clear. Why did he summarize all of suffering as the self-delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha? The five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, that I call dukkha. So, most people don't understand. So how do you contemplate? How do you reflect? You should inquire, why did the Buddha say that? True or not? That is the first thing. Then when you inquire, then you can contemplate. Why did the Buddha say that? Why did he say, in short, all of suffering is due to my self-delusion? So the first thing I need to mark is self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. What does it mean? Because I have this, the Buddha said, that I grasp and cling to all these five aggregates. Means, I think these five aggregates are me. They are self. That's why it's called self-delusion. You deludedly grasp to this physical body thinking that it's you. That's why you will worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. That's how suffering comes to be. Then you think feeling is you. Then when you have this painful feeling, you become afflicted, you become miserable, especially disease and sickness. Yeah, you cling to that feeling, that Vedana. Then when you perceive your loved one having an affair or doing something funny, then you become afflicted. Because that perception creates suffering. Yeah, you attach to that thing that you perceive. Your loved one or your spouse having affair, deceive you, or they lie to you, your good friend, and all those things. So all this is the cause of suffering. Because the moment you attach to what you perceive, what you feel, and what you think, your views, your opinion, your idea, and the consciousness that you arise, let's say seeing consciousness, you saw something, or your enemy, or somebody doing funny thing that affect you, then you attach to that consciousness. That's how you suffer. So you realize, attachment is the cause of suffering. And why do I attack? Yeah, I thought feeling was me. I thought the thing I perceived was reality, was me. I thought all this sankhara activity that I arise, consciousness that I arise, is real. That's why through thinking, I grasp, I cling, and I deludedly hold on to it and become afflicted. And this is what suffering is all about. Then you, right, through the contemplation, realize, hey, this is true. Then the next contemplation is, the inquiry is, how can I break free? True or not? How can you break free? How can you understand that this body is not you? Like what we have gone through, the two aspects of the five aggregate. So when you grow up at this five aggregate of form and mind, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what is this five aggregate of form and mind? That's how I reflect and contemplate. I understand the two aspects of the five aggregate. No book write about it, I tell you. The first aspect, also people dare not put it down. They just tell you the five aggregate is rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vinyana. Finish. They dare not move on further. So when you contemplate, reflect, you understand because you see the truth, the Dhamma. So as you contemplate means you depend on the inquiry, you contemplate. Why did the Buddha say that attachment is the cause of suffering? Craving is the cause of suffering. Then I reflect, I contemplate. In life, as I go through life, how did all these things happen? And how did the mind get entangled? And how did that suffering arise? And how is it like? What dukkha is all about? That's why you can feel it, because you reflect, you contemplate. But most of the time, human beings suffer without knowing that they are suffering. Do you see that point or not? After you get very angry, miserable, afflicted, sometimes they say, kigawa ai tohwe. That's all. It's like you are so sick about what happened. But you still blame people. No? That guy make me like that. But you suffer without realizing that this is suffering. No? This is tormenting you, no? Burning you, no? And causing you so much mental suffering and agony. No? It's just like this thing. Let's say it's very hot. The moment I hold, what happened? It will burn me and torment me, isn't it? So I straight away, naturally, I will know how to put it down, isn't it? We are physically being burned and tormented, understand? Not? And this one, through sensation, I know, cannot touch. Very, very miserable. But mental suffering, nothing to torment you. You know? Means physically, it don't burn you physically, you know? But it burn you mentally. You know? That's why you never know. You burn until hangus also you don't know. Until you go cuckoo, tanya orang butan also, you don't know. That is the seriousness of mental suffering. Yeah. Because when you are already miserable until you go into depression, you still don't know you are suffering. No? You still with the cuckoo not stop. Like a tape recorder repeating. No? Then locking yourself up, doing all the foolish things. And this is the danger of mental suffering. Because it doesn't torment you physically. And you cannot wake up. You can only wake up when you have some good karmic root. Or the second way is, after you have experienced enough suffering, then the condition reverse. Otherwise you cannot. If you have helped people before, then that good root can bring about condition for people to help you. Otherwise you cannot be free. So contemplation is to reflect. Understand? You have an inquiry for why did the Buddha say that? And how can I understand? Then from this, it will lead you. Then when you reflect and contemplate, what you are doing is you are recollecting. Understand? Recollecting. You can say through memory, but it's not active thinking. Understand? Like the Buddha said, birth is suffering. This is very good for ladies. You mother before? You got children? Wow, very good. Like that you understand very clearly. Like the Buddha said, birth is suffering. You understand that? But people who haven't gone through the birth process, they will have to ask the question, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Birth is a joy, isn't it? Newborn kid, looking forward to the Muagya, and to be a father. But they don't know how the mother suffers. So when the Buddha say birth is suffering, what you can do is you should inquire, was it really suffering? Because some of you have very good birth, and that means no complication. Like my wife, very easy, no problem. Then you may not understand why birth is suffering. But if you really reflect and contemplate, when you are carrying that baby, the initial first month or second month, you got morning sickness, isn't it? And you got this vomiting and all those things, isn't it? Then later on, as the baby develops, there are a lot of things you cannot do, isn't it? Your body also get out of shape and all those things. Then later on, they even kick you, understand? My wife show it to me, how when they kick you, the baby, wow, that, like one lump come out, then go down again. Very interesting. You should experience all those things. Then you have to take care. You cannot fall. You get your movement. All. Then you understand, oh, this is why birth is suffering. Then the more important one is, the moment you are born into this world, old age, sickness, and death will follow. Wherever there is birth, there is old age, sickness, and death. There is the reality of suffering, the first noble truth. So when you have this type of understanding, your mind is very different. You see things very different. You straight away zoom in, zero in on the important thing that you need to do. That's why I taught my children differently. I never teach them to become successful. No. Understand life, more important. I say you go to school, try your best, that's it. You observe your teacher, your classmate, your friend, then you live life, you understand, you learn the maths, you learn the science. It's different because the emphasis is on understanding life, understanding what is good for you. A lot of people is motivated by what? Success. Study hard, become engineer, become doctor, become professional. Otherwise, what they do, pangkopi, they say. Last time, our time, we say, go and help people to deliver coffee, pangkopi. Now, my wife told me at that time, if you don't study, you know what they tell the student? Wait till you become teacher, then you know. You heard of that? Wait till you become teacher, then you know. Actually, that time, teacher was underpaid and got a lot of problems, a lot of workload. So teacher's life is not easy. But when you know how to manage and cope, I believe a lot of you are teachers also. So maybe you all can find out for yourself. A lot of you like the profession, that's why you sacrifice, you are very sincere. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, then I think we better end, because it's getting late. 9:30, I exceeded by almost 15 minutes. First day, I think most of you need a good rest. Have a good rest tonight. For those who are hungry or you need food, is it still open? Still open. Otherwise, they will bring up here some of the drinks. Are they bringing up? No more. Oh, now is the kitchen is open. So you can have your whatever soft drink if you want to. Okay, maybe we will do a quick sharing of merit, transfer merit, then we end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past many hours. The first day of our retreat. Let us rejoice with all the wholesomeness that we have developed and cultivated. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And let us share and transfer this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatin sukhita hantu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo imina punyang kamena samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava imana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones, huh? Then we end.